Well, I believe the Lord's here tonight, don't you? If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. If you're saved and you're happy about it, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We ought to be happy to feel what we're feeling here tonight. I'm glad the Lord's the same on Monday night as He is on Sunday night. He don't take any off nights. There's no blue Monday with Him. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Every day. And I feel like the Lord's here to help us have revival. And I just tell you, I like to obey God. How many here believe in obeying the Lord? And I felt like the Lord dealt with me here a moment ago. God is always wanting to send revival, but He's just waiting on us. You realize that? And here's the verse that came to my mind to back that up. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, God spoke and He said these familiar words. He said, if my people, that's us here tonight, right? God was talking to the church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, amen, will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. How many like to see God do that right here in this hour? I believe we need God to heal our land and help our lives one more time. That's why we're here tonight. We need revival. Amen. And I believe the Lord's able to give it to us. But I'll tell you, did you notice? Here's how the Lord dealt with me from that verse as the Spirit of God was moving here tonight. Before God ever said anything about doing His part, He mentioned the fact that we got to do our part. Did you notice that? God put the onus on the church, us. In fact, God, before God ever talked about the results of revival, and that's certainly what we want. We want to see results when we come to church. Souls saved and healed and baptized in the Holy Ghost and victory. But before God ever mentioned the results of revival, He pointed out the requirements of revival. You know, there's some requirements. In fact, God said, if we'll do four things right here tonight while the Spirit's moving, I believe this recipe still works. I believe it's still up to date. God said, if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, God said, then He'll get involved. And He said, I'll do three things. He said, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. And you know as well as I do tonight, when we do our part and God does His part and those come together in holy unity, 4 + 3 = 7, right? I'm not very good at math, but I know that. 4 + 3 = 7. And you know, 7's God's perfect number in the Bible. Amen. You read the Word of God, anytime there's a 7, they marched around the wall 7 times on the 7th day, and there's victory, right? 7 is God's number of completion and perfection and totality. And so, I don't know what that does for you, Brother Todd, but I'll tell you what that does for me. That lets me know we can have a complete, perfect revival in this hour. Amen. Despite what the world's saying, the devil, all the doubters around us, we can have a revival on Monday night where everybody in the house is completely filled with the power of God. Amen. Everybody that's sick can be healed. Everybody that's bound can be delivered. You believe that? How many like to have a revival like that tonight? Amen. God is waiting on us tonight. And I'll tell you, I don't want to leave the Holy Ghost waiting. Do you? I like to obey Him. So I just want to encourage you tonight. We don't have a schedule, and I've always been this way. I don't have to be up here being seen or being heard. I want the Holy Ghost to have His way. So you continue. We're not going to put the brakes on this tonight. You obey God. If you feel like praying, that's what we're here to see. Here to see folks get help. Amen. I want to do my part to see revival. Don't you? Praise God. Praise God. The book of Exodus tonight. Everybody that will, let's get in the Word of the Lord. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And I felt like the Lord dealt with me from this scripture today. Good to see everybody here. Thank you for your giving and the offering. I thought we had a wonderful start last night to revival. And here we're just climbing higher tonight. So let's just press on through and see what God will do for us. Good to see the visitors here tonight. And these preaching brethren, appreciate them being in the house of the Lord. Exodus chapter 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Exodus 17 and verse 1. The Bible said, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses, and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord. I believe that's the key right there. How many know God hears the church when they get desperate? Amen. When we begin to cry. Moses cried unto the Lord and saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Amen. I'd like to be in that group with Moses when this service is over tonight. Whatever God is dealing with you to do, I'd like to leave here saying, "I did so in the sight of all the church." Amen. God blesses those that obey Him tonight. And so that's all we'll read. I want to draw your attention, though. A great miracle has happened here. Water came out of this rock for a whole nation of Israel. But I want to draw our attention back to verse 1. The children of Israel are journeying through the wilderness. And notice the latter part of this verse. The Bible said they pitched in Rephidim. And notice this, there was no water for the people to drink. Amen. What a bad situation to be in. No water. Thirsty. Dry. Really, if you'll get a picture of this church right here, Israel, this was a dry, barren, thirsty, empty church. Amen. You ever felt like that? You ever been journeying for God, doing everything you know to do? That's why we have revival. We don't want to die dry. We don't want to get in that place, but sometimes we get there. Even as the children of God, the children of Israel are dry. But I want you to notice what God said. He speaks to a church like that in verse 6. And God said these words, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock." And I like this. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say perhaps. He gave them a promise. "There shall come water out of it that the people may drink." Amen. "There shall come a blessing." So it seems to me like what God was saying was this: "I know where you're at, Israel. I see what you're dealing with, where you're at, what you're facing." And it seemed like God told Moses, "Don't fret. Don't worry. I know you're dry, but I've got a supply for the church that's dry." Amen. That's what I want to preach on tonight, if the Lord will help me. I want to preach on God's supply for the dry. Amen. God's supply for the dry. Maybe you're here tonight, and in the midst of a service like this, seem like the water's already been sending, coming forth in this house. The rock's already been sending water out for us to drink from. But maybe you're sitting here dry and barren. I want to encourage you, you don't have to leave that way tonight. You don't have to go home the way you came. God's got a supply for the soul that's dry. Amen. Won't you raise your hands this way? Let's ask God to help us drink of that water of life tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to be here. I honor your spirit, God. We're here waiting on you. We want you to move for us. Will you bless this congregation? Touch our lips to preach. Give us an ear to hear. And most of all, move around this altar, God, and we'll be quick to obey you. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Everybody said amen. And amen. When we study the Bible, it's plain to see that many great events took place for the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness. In fact, miracle after miracle after miracle occurred during that march. And just to remind you of a few of them, in Exodus 14, the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and right away they get in a crisis. They come to the Red Sea, and they look out, and water is before them. Pharaoh and his armies behind them. Mountains on either side of them. You ever been in a place like that? at, nowhere to go, hemmed in by the enemy. But you remember what happened next? God spoke to Moses in a time like that. And he said, take your rod and stretch it out over the water. And sure enough, Moses obeyed. And when he did, that Red Sea parted hither and thither, and the church went over on dry ground. Amen. What a miracle that was right there. In fact, here we are tonight, 2006, thousands of years later, and we still sing about that Red Sea crossing. We still preach about it. We still testify about it. God made a way for the church. Amen. And I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad God is still making a way for His people. If you're here tonight and you're bound or stuck between the devil and the deep Red Sea, I'm glad there is a way to victory by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God will make a highway out of no way if we'll let Him. The children of Israel saw that miracle right away. And I'll tell you what one of my favorite parts of that story is. We focus a lot on God drowning Pharaoh and his army. We talk a lot about the water parting. But I'll tell you what I think was one of the greatest parts of that miracle. The Bible said that little phrase, they crossed over on dry ground. Amen. Isn't that just like God? When God does a miracle, He does it perfect. When the children of Israel, in other words, when they walked through to victory, they didn't even get any muddy shoes doing it. Amen. Isn't that just like God? When they walked over to the other side, they didn't even have to clean the mud off their sandals. God led them through on dry ground. He made a way for the church. And I'm glad tonight. I want to reiterate, if you don't get anything else out of this message, God will make a way for His people. No matter what the odds are, no matter what's coming against you, there is a way by the Spirit. Amen. I read one time a story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it comes to my mind right now. The story said that there was a Christian, a young man. He just got saved, a young convert, didn't know much about the Bible or religion, and he was eagerly reading his Bible. Everywhere he went, he took that Bible with him. And one day he was standing on the street corner, and he was reading Exodus 14, the Word of God. And this atheist, the town atheist, approached him, and he began to attack that Bible, that Scripture, the Word of God. And he said, young man, he said, I see you reading the Bible. He said, don't you know that Bible's a hoax? Everything in there's false, and it's just made up. Those stories didn't really happen. He said, in fact, you tell me what you're reading right now, and I'll tell you that it's not true. I'll discredit what you're reading right now. What are you reading? And that young man said, sir, I'm reading Exodus 14, how the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea. And the story said that atheist began to laugh right in the face of that young man. And he said, don't you know that's a fairy tale? He said, I've talked to people who are learned men. And he said, history bears record. The Red Sea was only 6 inches deep at that time. He said, that wasn't a miracle. That wasn't a divine act of God. He said, all that happened is those children of Israel walked through 6-inch deep water to the other side. What do you think about that? And the story said that kind of bothered that young Christian, but he read on the rest of the chapter. Amen. And a few minutes later, he started shouting and praising God again. He started rejoicing. And that atheist said, what are you shouting about now? He said, I just told you that story's not true. What are you praising God about now? And that young Christian said, sir, I just read to the end of the chapter. And he said, I read where God drowned Pharaoh and his army and all the horses and the water. And he said, if you're telling me what you're telling me is right, he said, God did a miracle for sure. He drowned all of them in 6 inches of water. Amen. Whoa! I'm glad tonight, any way you want to cut it, God is a miracle worker. The world tries to discredit it. They try to say what we're feeling tonight is not real. But any way you want to look at it, God is for the church. God is making a way. The church isn't going under. Brother Hilton, somebody told me the other day, the church is going under. You know what I said? Maybe your church, maybe somebody else's church, but not God's church. We're going through on dry ground. God's making a way for the people of His. Amen. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Hallelujah. God did miracles for the church. Another place in the wilderness, manna rain down out of heaven. Amen. Every morning, fresh bread from heaven's bakery. Amen. Not only that, I read where in their journey, Brother Austin, the Bible said their shoes never wore out. Can you imagine that? What a miracle. Their clothes never got old. I tell you, Brother Helton, we're blessed here tonight. I've got some good clothes I thank God for. He's put clothes on my back. I got shoes on my feet. But you know what? I've never had a suit that lasted 40 years. Amen. I'm not even that old. I don't expect this one to be around 40 years from now. I'd say these shoes, I was preaching a revival in Verona at Brother Brent Moore's church, and they bought me these shoes. Probably the best shoes I've ever had, but I don't expect them to be around 40 years from now. But God got in the arrangements. And you know what he said to his church? I'm going to make sure you got shoes that'll carry you to the promised land. I'm going to make sure there's a way, no matter what's coming against you. You know what? Tonight, we're on a journey, church. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm not staying here in the wilderness. I'm going to a promised land. And God put the shoes on her feet. God put the clothes on her back. He's made a way. You can make it to heaven if you want to. Come on and go with me. We're bound for the promised land. Aren't you glad? God is making a way for the church. Amen. When they got weary, amen, the pillar of cloud began to lead them by day, and the fire was burning by night. Amen. Miracle after miracle after miracle is taking place in that march. But I'll be honest with you tonight, all those are great. But one of my favorite miracles that we read about in the wilderness journey is this one we read about tonight. In Exodus 17, Moses, his church is weary and thirsty. Amen. And Moses smote a rock and water came gushing out of it. Can you imagine that, Brother Manning? I've just been thinking about that today. A man smote a rock and 3 million Israelites got a drink from it. Amen. And I tell you tonight, that miracle is still important to you and I on Monday night of revival. You know why? You say, why is that important to us, Brother Jerry? Paul the Apostle wrote in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, and he got to writing about that account, that event, and Paul said it like this. He said, that rock was Christ Jesus. Amen. It wasn't just a rock. It was a type of Jesus. Moses smote the rock, and when he did, blessing came out of it. And can I tell you tonight, 2,000 years ago, a man smote Jesus at Calvary. The devil thought he's getting rid of him. Man crucified him on the old rugged cross. But when they smote him, blessing came out. Amen. When they crucified him, the blood and the water came out of him. And tonight, everything that you need is flowing from that rock of ages. I'm not here to get you to see me. I want to point you to Jesus. He's the only one that'll satisfy your soul. If you're dry, if you're weary, there's a rock of ages, and blessing flows. There's water for the weary in this hour. Amen. All you got to do is get to the rock, and there's a blessing that flows from it. Amen. The Bible said that Roman soldier took a spear and pierced the side of our Lord. And I think it's beautiful. It might sound grotesque to people that don't understand this significance of it. But the Bible said, forthwith flowed out blood and water. Amen. A double blessing. Blood for the soul that's sinful. Water for the church that's thirsty. Amen. What do you need tonight? It don't matter we're under the same roof. It don't matter if you're saved or lost. Amen. If you're lost, there's blood flowing. If you're here and you're saved and you're thirsty, that's what we ought to be. Being revival thirsty. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. I want to tell you, everything we need is in the rock. We just need a church that'll get to the rock of ages. God's got a supply for the soul that's dry tonight. Amen. In Numbers chapter 20, I think it's interesting. We find the children of Israel in a similar dilemma. They're in the wilderness again. Again, they're thirsty. Again, they're barren and dry. There's no water. But you read Numbers chapter 20. God told them to do something a little different this time. God said, this time, Don't smite the rock. Speak to the rock. You remember reading that? God changed His orders around. Why? Why do it different now, Lord? You know why? Again, that rock was Christ. Amen. That was typology. Man smote Him once, but man will never smite Him again. Amen. Jesus told Moses, smite Him once, but now don't smite Him a second time. He took that smiting once but for all. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. We've been praying for the sick tonight. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. He did it once and for all. Can I tell you tonight, we're living in a better day than the Old Testament. We're living in a better day than the pre-crucifixion era. You know what we do tonight? If you're thirsty here, we don't smite the rock. We don't crucify Him afresh. All we got to do in this hour is walk in and speak to Him. Amen. All we got to do is get down in prayer and talk to God. It's not hard. All I got to do is come in here on a Monday night and admit to the Lord, I'm dry, I'm barren, I'm in trouble, I'm in a wilderness, but I'm looking to You. And when the church speaks to Jesus, the water begins to flow, the windows of heaven get open, and a river of revival runs in this place. I want to ask you tonight, did you come to speak to the rock? Did you come to praise Him and talk to Him? If we'll do it, God has a supply for the church that's dry tonight. Amen. Won't you raise your hands and tell Him, we need revival. We need the river of God to flow in our soul tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I want to look for just a moment tonight. I'm not going to hold you too long on this Monday night, but let's look at Exodus chapter 17 for a moment. I see some parallels between where this church of Israel was and where we are tonight. Amen. Amen. I think it's interesting. The children of Israel had just come out of the wilderness of sin, the Bible tells us. Isn't that a good place to get away from? Amen. The wilderness of sin. What an appropriate name that is. Sin is like a wilderness in every way. It's barren. It's empty. Amen. There's nothing there to satisfy you. You know, they say out in the desert, people see a mirage. You ever heard of that? And from a distance, it looks like there's an oasis. But when they finally make their way to it, it's nothing but dust and dryness and a barren place. And that's the way this world is. The hog pen, the far country looks good from the distance. Amen. But the prodigal found out when you get there, it's just a hog pen. It's just husk. It's riotous living. And so this world is like a wilderness. Sin is a wilderness. But the children of Israel, they did what everybody that's saved has done tonight. They left the wilderness of sin. And the Bible said in verse 1, they came to a place called Rephidim. Amen. Rephidim. I looked up that word in a Bible dictionary today. Rephidim, that Hebrew word, you know what it means? It means the resting place. The resting place. And oh, what a picture this really is of what the Christian life is like. We have left the wilderness of sin. We're not living in Egypt anymore, but we're not in Canaan's land yet either. We didn't make it to the promised land yet. That's where the children of Israel were. They're not in the wilderness of sin, but they're not in Canaan. They're somewhere in the middle. And you know what's in the middle for the Christian? It's a resting place. Amen. A Rephidim. That's where we're at tonight. You realize that? This church, it's a Rephidim, a resting place. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't have to be troubled tonight. This is a resting place where the soul can get what it needs from God. Amen. But you know what I notice? You can be living in the right place, saved, a Christian. That's where Israel is. But you can still get dry. Amen? And that's what I'm burdened about tonight. I felt like the Holy Ghost dealt with me today. There's some, they're not in the wilderness. Yeah, they're not lost. I'm not saying you're a sinner. But there's some that are dry right in the resting place. Amen. There's some that come to the house of God like the Holy Ghost was moving tonight. I'll tell you, there's enough power here tonight in the singing. We could be shouting and running right now. Amen. Oh, but you know what's happening if we're not careful? We get dry right at Rephidim. We get dry right right in the resting place. I'll tell you what we need in this hour. We got to get a hold of a rock, and we got to get a river of revival to run through the house. God don't want you to die dry. He wants a river from the left to the right, from the front to the back. In this place, we can have a river in a dry, barren land. Amen. Don't die dry when you don't have to. When I look at Exodus 17, the first thing I want us to notice tonight regarding the children of Israel is their desperate plight. Their desperate plight. Listen to verse number 1, a short but graphic phrase. The Bible said there was no water for the people to drink. Amen. Can it get any worse than that? No water. They say one of the worst things in the world is to be thirsty and not be able to find a drink. Amen. Amen. You know, it's been scientifically proven you can go a lot longer, this body can, without food than it can water. Water is a necessity to life. It's the staple of life. And for that sake tonight, I say in the Spirit, it's proven in the Bible, the water is the type of the Spirit of God. Amen. Here the children of Israel were. Again, I remind you, we covered it already, but they've left the wilderness of sin and they come to Rephidim. And I got to studying that today. You know what Bible maps will tell you? It was a 50-mile journey from the wilderness of sin to Rephidim. Amen. They just walked that. Can you imagine that? That these Israelites had just journeyed 50 miles through the desert. Now you go out on a summer day in August or something like that and you walk 1 mile. Amen. And when you walk that mile, you're going to be looking for some water. You go out on a 90-degree day, and you walk 3 miles. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to look like I do right now. Amen. You're going to be sweating. You're going to be looking for a fountain. These Israelites, they had walked 50 miles through a desert. I guarantee you when they finally made it, they said, we got to find some water. This is a thirsty church. They're dry. They got to have it or they're going to die. And I make a parallel there tonight. We got to realize how much we need the move of God. Amen. If we don't have revival, I'm not saying an evangelist come through. Amen. But I'm talking about a move of God on midweek night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're going to die unless we find some water. I'd like for God to stir us tonight. We need a revival. We need an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. It's water or die in this hour. Amen. Amen. The children of Israel had just journeyed through a wilderness. And I'll tell you what I found out in my life. You know why midweek service is important? Amen. Sunday morning and Sunday night's important. We don't realize it so much. But on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, amen, you know what we're doing? Wednesday, we're journeying through a wilderness out there in this world. That job you're on, amen, the Spirit of God's in here in the resting place. And I know God goes with you. But we walk through barren lands all week long. We walk through dry places. When we come in the house of God, I know how dry it is out there. We can't afford for it to be dry in here. When we get in here, we got to get a hold of the rock and tell him we need you. We got to have a nourishment. We got to have a drink. Amen. There is a satisfaction that's only found in Jesus tonight. Amen. You know what I noticed about thirst? Everybody here has been thirsty at a time. And the purpose of this preaching tonight is I'd like to get us thirsty for revival. Amen. You know what I notice about thirst? It's the same in the spiritual as it is in the natural. Thirst is instinctive. That's right. Thirst is instinctive. You're born thirsty. Amen. You know, I got two little daughters. We got to teach them how to do a lot of things. I had to teach my girls how to talk. We had to teach them how to say their ABCs. Got to teach them how to count. Got to teach them how to walk. But I never had to teach my little girls how to be thirsty. Amen? There's something God puts in them. They come out of the womb, and there's something deep down that's thirsty. It's God-given. It's instinctive. And you know what I found out? If you don't obey that instinct, you're going to be extinct. Amen? That's right. You obey the instinct, or you die, and you become extinct. And I'll tell you, that's the way it is spiritually. There's something in this soul. There's only one thing that will really satisfy it, and that's the Spirit of God. You look around the world, you know what the sinner does? They try to get drunk on wealth and popularity and drugs and alcohol. They drink up success. They get drunk on the pleasures of life, and still something in here is crying out, I need more. I'm not satisfied. I'm here to tell you tonight, the only thing to quench that is the move of God in your life. Only Jesus is the rock that's going to quench your thirst in this hour. I ask you tonight, do we still have that craving in our life? Amen. You remember the day when you got saved? I examined my own life. I remember when I first got saved, I always said, more, more, more. Amen. I'm not satisfied to come and sit. I got to have more. And if we're not careful, as we get saved and we stay saved a while, that craving leaves us. And we're just satisfied to live in a dry place. I say tonight, let's get the longing back. Just like that little babe is thirsty when it's born. We got to be thirsty for God. We got to be thirsty for revival. It's instinctive. Amen? Amen. Not only is thirst instinctive, but thirst is intense. Amen. I've seen people, my little girls, get so thirsty that they drop everything they're doing. Amen. And they come in saying, I got to have water. My little girl, Jerissa, she loves to play outside. Most girls do. She don't get as much a chance. We're usually in church about every night. And we travel. But when she gets a chance to be outside and play in the summertime, she don't want to come in for nothing. But I've seen her get so thirsty. She leaves her friends and her toys and don't care what's going on around her. All she cares about is getting water. Amen. And you know, I would to God we get like that in this revival. You know, when revival comes, when we don't care who's next to us, I don't care what they think about me. I don't care if they think I'm crazy. I don't care what they are saying. Amen. I gotta have water. I gotta have the Holy Ghost. If we'll get there tonight, I guarantee you the rock is full of blessing. The rock has what you need. God has a supply for the dry. Amen. But here's what I really want to drive home tonight. Thirst is instinctive. Thirst is intense. But thirst is individual. Amen. In other words, here's what I mean by that. Me drinking water will never quench you. Amen? And you, Brother Manning, can drink gallons of water, and it won't affect me. We got to get it for ourselves. Amen? I got to find a fountain for myself. And conversely, tonight, me having revival will not satisfy your soul. Brother Hilton can get up here and shout, God's been moving on him. He's been feeling the Holy Ghost. But it's not going to affect me. He's going to get full. You know, it's possible to come to the same house. I've seen some people shout, and other people go out untouched. Somebody over here go out healed. And somebody back there go out doubting. Amen. You got to get it for yourself. That's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 7 and verse 37. He stood up and he cried aloud. And here was his word. If any man thirst, any man, hear that? In the last day, the great day of the feast, he stood and cried. If any man, individual, thirst, let him, individual, come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what God wants for us tonight. Not a dry land, not a barren church, not an empty place, but a river running right through the house of God. Wouldn't you like to get out in that river and go all the way to the depths of it and get all your soul needs? God's got it if you want it tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's how that story ends. Moses is thirsty. But Moses, and this is what we're getting ready to do at the altar. Verse 4, here's the turning point. He cried unto the Lord. Amen. I would to God tonight that we'd make a prayer in our plight. Amen. That's all God's waiting on. He wants us to realize how much we need Him, how dry our soul is without Him. And if we'll make a plea in the plight, God will give us the way to have revival. Amen. You know what God said? I see a desperate plight. They're looking around. There's no water for them to drink. But in the middle of that desperate plight, I see a divine presence. Amen. A divine presence. Let let me read you this verse, and we're going to get ready to pray. In verse 6, God spoke to Moses, and here's what he said. He said, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Amen. You know what God said? I know where you're at, church. I see where you're at. I see how dry it is, but I've heard your prayer, and I'm going to come down to where you are, and I'm going to stand before you on that rock in Horeb. You know what Horeb means? It means the dry place, the wasted place, the barren place. God said, Moses, tell the church to get ready. I'm coming right where the dry place is, and I'm going to get right there. And when I get there, it's not going to be dry any longer. There's going to be a river. There's going to be a blessing. There's going to be a provision. I tell you tonight, if we can get God in here, it won't be dry. It'll be joy unspeakable. It'll be full of glory. God's got what we need tonight. Somebody get a hold of the rock, and let's have a revival in this hour. Amen. Stand with me all over the house tonight. Raise your hands to God in heaven. Everybody that's thirsty, won't you ask God, we need your presence. We need your presence, God, in our life. I don't want to die dry when I can cry to the one that sets on high. Hallelujah. And God, you got a supply. You got a supply that's never ending tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's take a moment. We're getting ready to pray. Let's invite the presence of God to come in around this altar. Lord, you're the rock of ages. You're that rock, Lord, that's got water. Hallelujah. Oh, help us to speak to you tonight. Help us to get a hold of the rock tonight. Amen. I felt like telling somebody, you don't have to live dry. There's a supply for the dry. You know how this story ends? God speaks to Moses like he wants to speak to us tonight, and he has spoke to us. And God tells him what to do, smite the rock. And Moses obeys God. Amen. Somebody come to music. We're getting ready to pray. And you know what happened when they obeyed God? I see a desperate plight, no water. I see a divine presence. God comes down and stands on that rock in the dry place. But then I see a delightful provision. Amen. Wouldn't you like to leave here saying, we got a provision from the Lord tonight. God provided on Monday night a revival for my thirsty soul. You know what happened? When Moses smote that rock, I let the Bible preach for itself. Here's what the Word of God said, Psalm 78 and verse 20. Behold, Psalm 78 and verse 20, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, amen, and the streams overflowed. I'll be honest, Brother Hilton, I've always pictured this miracle wrong. You know what I always pictured? Moses smote the rock, and a little trickle came out. Amen. Kind of like, you know, you go to the water fountain, you press the button, and here comes a little stream. Just enough to wet your whistle. Amen. And I picture Moses hit that rock, and here comes a little stream like a water fountain. And you know what they did? I mean, here, he gets a drink. Here, you have one. And they all got just enough to barely keep them alive. They barely make it to the next day. Isn't that what we do in church a lot? We get a little drink here, a little sip. Maybe that'll get me to the next revival. That's not the will of God. No. You know what the Bible said? They didn't get a little drip. They didn't hold that rock up and have to shake the last drop out. He smote the rock and waters gushed out. Amen. And the streams overflowed. You know what that lets me know? When they got done, they looked around. They said, where'd that wilderness go? Amen. Where'd that dry land go? It's a river around here now. There's an abundance. There's a river flowing in the resting place. I tell you tonight, God has more than a little drop will do you. He's got a river of revival. But somebody's got to get thirsty for it. Amen. Amen. How many's tired of being dry in your soul? How many's tired of just barely making it in this world? God's got revival for those that are get thirsty. Amen. How about you? I'm open the altar tonight. Let's ask God to just sweep through this place tonight, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. We need revival. Come on, gather around here. Let's talk to this rock of ages and tell him we need blessing to flow. Open up the window of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there's not even room enough to contain it all, God.